It's the 26th of February, so you have all successfully gotten through, I hope, the fuss and bluster of Valentine's Day. Did you weather it okay? Are you all right? Are you okay? It can be hard. That's a weird one, that one. Did you get enough candy hearts with the little cute little messages on them? I should have bought some when I was coming in this morning. All right. Yeah, no, we got to get more. All right. Do we need that word love? I mean, for crying out loud, it gets used in so many cheap and sentimental ways, in awful hypocritical ways. Wouldn't it be better just to use some other word? I mean, if somebody out there hears that UU Saratoga is all about love, 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 they're just going to think we're some purveyor of sentimental claptrap, right? Isn't that what'll happen? I mean, you don't need the word love for love to be present. So you just heard a terrific little story about a girl, a t-ball game, and a dog. And the word love does not appear in this story, but there was love all over the place in that story, right? The girl isn't very good at t-ball, but right away we're told that the crowd applauds for her anyway. Love, 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 that's love right there. And then she connects with the ball. The crowd, of course, goes wild. The ball goes rolling past all the fielders. She runs the bases, but rounding third, she sees that dog wagging its tail. She looks at home plate, looks at the dog, and chooses the dog. And the crowd, which has been screaming its head off, so excited that the girl actually got a hit, they are stunned into silence. But just for a moment, the girl falls to her knees to hug the dog, and the crowd breaks their silence with loud and long applause. And that is love, right? Oh, come on, give it back to me. That's love, right? All right. So do we need the word to understand the story? Do we need the word to orient what we're about? Do we need the word in order to talk about who we are? The word love gets used a lot in Unitarian Universalism. I think I mentioned this to you before, but a relatively recent study of Unitarian Universalism found that UUs ranked loving as an instrumental value and mature love as a terminal value more highly than did respondents from other groups, religious and non-religious. The public advocacy campaign of the UUA, the Unitarian Universalist Association, marches under the banner, Side with Love. It seems to me that Unitarian Universalists are leaning more and more into love, often even a capital L love. And in the bylaws of the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations, well, we've decided to require of ourselves that we reevaluate the written statement of our principles that appears there. And there's a commission that's been working on this since 2020. They got appointed in 2020. When the board appointed and charged the study commission, they told them that they believed that one core value widely shared among UUs is love. And in their charge to that study commission, they said, "We therefore charge this commission to root its work in love as a principal guide in its work, attending particularly to the ways that we and our root traditions have understood and articulated love and how we have acted out of love." This study commission was required to, and did, publish a report on all of their findings this past January. I think I first told you, well, the last time I mentioned this to you was last fall when a preliminary draft had been out and they were looking for comments on it. Well, they've got a new draft, and they put it in there with this report that they've just published in January. You can find the whole thing online if you just go to the UUA.org website and look for Article 2, and it's got that sexy name because Article 2 is the place in the bylaws where this appears. And here are just two sentences that appear in the latest draft. Love is the power that holds us together and is at the center of our shared values. We are accountable to one another for doing the work of living our shared values through the spiritual discipline of love. Love, love, love. We are the love people. And I admit I kind of love that. The definition of love does matter. There are all kinds of places in society where love is proclaimed, but what is happening is not love. People misuse the word love all the time. Some of us here have been subject to mistreatment under the guise of love that was, in fact, no love at all. It's our call to counter all of that. To say, no, that isn't love. And to say, no, if you want to know what love is, look here. Live this way. If we were going to give up on using that word love, we would just throw love to the dogs, not the real dogs, the figurative, metaphorical dogs, the nasty ones that would just tear it up, not the dog that the girl hugs on the third baseline. It's our calling as religious people to rescue love. Answering the call of love means rejuvenating and renewing the understanding and experience of love and loving. The definition of love does matter. It doesn't mean, however, that there is a steady, unchanging, definitive, written in stone with precision instruments definition of love. Love is always taking on new forms. And I got to experience this. Well, I experience this all the time, really. But I experienced it most recently, most notably perhaps, last weekend when I was one of about 3,000 fans. Fan is short of for fanatics, who got together for the largest Doctor Who-themed convention in the world in Los Angeles. This is the first time I had ever been to a science fiction con, sci-fi con. I was a bit nervous about it because I knew there'd be a little weirdness, a little wackiness there. And sure enough, there was. People were doing all sorts of things that people don't do in normal life. Probably the most obvious thing was all the people dressed up in costumes. Some of the cosplay was pretty gentle, just a t-shirt here. I bought a t-shirt that looked like the latest doctor's t-shirt, and I put that on. Just a t-shirt. But there were people who, they went all out. It wasn't just a costume. It wasn't just fancy dress. There was prosthetics. There were monsters and heroes wandering the halls all over the place. I went to a script reading as part of the convention. I grabbed my seat, and then sitting down right next to me, this is full, sold out script reading. Everybody's coming in, so every seat's going to be full. That seat right there, into that seat pops a baby-faced 6'2" guy who was only interacting with people through the Grover-style Muppet puppet that he was wearing on his left arm. Hey, how you doing? I'm so glad to be here. The left arm was where I was sitting, right there. Right there. It was a seat emptied up in front of me. I moved into the seat, I confess. It was a little much. It was a lot of puppetness and 6'2" for crying out loud, and wow. But you know what love looked like was not me moving to another seat. That wasn't it. What love looked like was this. Jodie Whittaker, you know the actor Jodie Whittaker? She's been in Broadchurch and, what else? She's filming something in Sydney right now. She was in, she played a doctor or someone who pretended to be a doctor on a show called Trust Me, I think that was it. Anyway, whatever. Jodie Whittaker, great actor, and she comes out on stage. She's the one who's most recently played the title role in Doctor Who, the Doctor. There's, of course, an eruption of applause. It's a big, big deal for her to be at this convention. There's no bigger guest that you could possibly get to show up at this particular convention. So there she is. And the crowd erupts, of course, and that's not the example of love that I wanted to show with you. The host of the script reading comes out on stage, and they Ms. Whitaker and the host, we call her Jody. Jody and the host, they said that they were going to need some audience participation for this script reading, and they were going to be calling up people to read different parts from little bits of scenes from an episode of the show, Jody's big finale episode. And Jody has this grin on her face that's bigger than her face, somehow, and she needs to cast who is going to play the main companion to the Doctor, the second biggest part that's up there, a character named Yaz. And she wheels and she turns and she points right at the puppet and says, "That's Yaz." And so the guy gets up and goes up on the stage, and the host says to somebody was recruited to play a mic stand. I put up my hand for the mic stand part, but I didn't get it. The mic stand was directed, you know, "Don't mic the puppet, but mic the guy." And they go through the scene, they're playing the scene, they're having so much, the Doctor actually casts someone else as the Doctor. Jody casts somebody else to play, she wants to play another role in the scene. "I didn't get to play this other role, so I'm going to play that." And they just are having so much fun, and the puppet is doing awesome on Yaz's parts, and everybody in the crowd just has these big grins on their faces, just like Jody. And so Love looks like inviting a 6'2" puppet dude up on stage and a crowd clapping and cheering about it. That's what Love looks like. I had no idea. Our understanding of what love looks like always needs to be open to new forms, because love is not done growing and changing. In fact, being finished and done is not what love is about. It just keeps on growing and evolving. Maybe this is why the study commission doesn't just say that we hold love as a central value, but describes us as doing the work of living our shared values through the spiritual discipline of love. Rather than lament that love is being continually emptied of meaning, I believe Unitarian Universalism is calling us to reclaim and rejuvenate love as a theological term for us, as well as a central spiritual practice, even a spiritual religious discipline. It takes practice, and perhaps even a disciplined practice, to open ourselves to the always growing, always more than we can know, real and living force of love that holds us all and calls us always into more and more ways of love and loving. So listen, breathe. We can get so distracted by Valentine's Day notions of romantic love and the false and hypocritical pretending at love that we are surrounded by. Sharon Salzberg, the meditation and mindfulness teacher, reminds us, "Real love may run on a lower voltage, but it's also more grounded and sustainable. From our first breath to our last, we're presented again and again with the opportunity to experience deep, lasting, and transformative connection with other beings, to love them and be loved by them, to show them our true natures, and to recognize theirs. In concert with them, we open our hearts to give and receive. We share joy and compassion, struggles and sorrows, gains and losses. And we learn in our bones what it means to be part of something bigger than ourselves. So may we not be shy or apologetic about it. May we not give in to our limiting assumptions, the distortions of our culture, or the habits of fear, self-condemnation, or isolation that we tend to acquire just by living a life in this society. May we live always into a larger love, open to change and growth, open to practicing love in relation to others, to the world around us, and to ourselves. We are the love people." So it is. May it be so. Amen.